Welcome to the Word Alive radio broadcast ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, located in Southeast Columbia at 3100 Trotter Road, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. Now, stay tuned for the Word Alive.
God has been speaking to us about the power of peace. We see in Isaiah 9 and 6 that the prophet prophesied that Jesus Christ, when he came, he would be called the Prince of Peace. That means that Jesus Christ brought peace into the earth. He is the leader of peace. We call it shalom. And then Jesus came in John 14, 27, and Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world. Let not your heart be afraid and neither fear." Peace does not mean the absence of trials or testings or whatever the case may be, because John 16, 33, Jesus said, "These things I've said unto you is so that you can have peace. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer." What? "I've overcome it for you." So we see what the peace of God looked like. One of the greatest experiences of God's peace is that you and I now have peace with God through Jesus Christ, Romans 5 and 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we now have" what? "Peace with God." And not only that, in Ephesians chapter 2, we looked at the scripture that reveals that God, when we're in Christ, we are called to have peace with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. Then we went on and transitioned about dealing with peace of mind, what it means to have a mental state of peace, how to maintain a mental state of peace. So many people on so much medications now, or they're going through yoga and all of these type of disciplines and all that, and there's nothing wrong with all that until you get into a certain area where it become demonic with some of that stuff. They do all that to try to have what? Peace. Isaiah 26 and 3 tells us that he or she that mind is stayed on Christ, he will keep them in perfect peace because they trust in him. I submit to you that we need to take the word of God and begin to think on the things of God. And so we talked about that part of peace. We also talked about why church. In Isaiah 54 and 13, the Bible said that our children shall be taught of the Lord and great shall be their peace. Children need and young people need to know the purpose of church because God want to teach you some things. We talked about peace when it comes to finding direction and guidance in your life. People are making decisions and don't have the peace of God. People are making life-changing decisions and haven't gotten the peace. Oh, Pastor, I prayed about it, but have God given you the umpire of peace? So last week we talked about what it means to experience the umpire of peace when it comes to God giving direction and guidance in your life. And when you're getting ready to make major decisions, you got to have peace. You can't say, "But the prophet said." You got to have peace about it. Colossians 3:15 say, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful." The word rule means to occupy, to dominate. That's the umpire peace. I want to transition to another area that the Lord laid on my heart. And I want to start by allowing these questions, these what I call rhetorical questions here. I want you to kind of look at these questions and just give thought to it. One of the questions is, have you ever obtained money in a manner which you were not totally at peace with? Another one, have you ever given money and didn't feel quite comfortable with the transaction? Another one, have you ever invested in order to gain money and wasn't fully at peace with the investment? And the final one is, as a believer in God's word, what is it that often keep you from financial peace? And so what I want to talk about today is another component of peace, what I call financial peace. Say financial peace. There is a peace that God has called his children to when it comes to money matters in life. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Chronicles. Now, we're going to begin this journey in chapter 17, and I want us to look at the life of a very familiar biblical figure that we don't often identify him in the area of his wealth. But one thing I want you to grab hold of is that God himself made a statement about this servant leader that this man is a man after my own heart. Paul picks it up in Acts 13, 22 when he reaches back into the history of Israel and he talks about how God began to work through different individuals And when it came to David, he said that David, God himself said that David was a man after his own heart that will do his will. What was it unique about the heart of David? Was that David had a heart of faithfulness. The Amplified Bible says he will carry out all my programs. So when we talk about David being a man after God's own heart, we got to understand what we're saying. We're not saying David was perfect. We see that. If you read 2 Samuel, you'll see all David's flaws and mistakes. So being a person after God's own heart doesn't mean you are perfect. But what do we see? David, Acts 13:22, he will do all my will. What's that? David will be faithful. David's heart was revealed because he was faithful to carrying out God's plan in the earth. Another thing was he demonstrated his faith. When he was a young boy and he stood up against Goliath, how do you know David demonstrated his faith? Another thing is this. David loved the law of God. He loved the word of God. We see that all through the Psalms, right? Another thing about David's heart is that he was thankful. Another thing about David's heart was he had a repentant heart. We see that in Psalms 51. David made mistakes, but how do you know he knew how to get it right with God? So I want us to look at this because every believer should be developing their heart so that they can get a witness from God that that's my son and my daughter. They are after my own heart. I want you to grab some here. Because when we hear about David, we celebrate his worship. How many know David was an anointed minstrel? He ministered prophetically. He was creative. He was intelligent. He knew how to get into the presence of God and lead people into the Holy of Holies. He was a great warrior. Some would know David as a great warrior. He was a battle axe in the hand of God. But very seldom do we ever focus on the wealth that David acquired and gave God glory with. Think about it. If he was a great warrior and he won all of these battles and brought down all of these kings and took all of this plunder, how many know he would be what we call filthy rich? You don't win a war. You don't bring down kings and leave the plunder. You take the plunder with him. So he was a very wealthy man. But get this now. With his wealth, he had financial peace. Financial peace is not based on how much you have or how much you don't have. It's based on the condition of your heart. It's based on your heart. We read the scripture of Mark chapter 12, the widow who came. How many know she didn't have an abundance? She only had two mites. She had one penny. And she put it in the offering. And Jesus said she gave more than all the others who gave in abundance. Why? Because she gave from her lack. She gave from her heart. So don't think I got to be filthy rich to have financial peace. You could be struggling financially and still have peace. See, we're not looking through the lens of the world. We're looking through the lens of the word. And you could be going through financial strait. You could be in a financial test right now. For the trying of your faith, let me say that again because we don't like that. For the trying, the testing of your faith, worketh patience. And patience what? Perseverance. You can still have peace. So here's the question I want to raise. What are the keys to David experiencing or developing such a heart? I believe the first one is this. David longed to honor God with his wealth while he was on the earth. He didn't honor God because he had an abundance. His heart was already set before he got an abundance. But he longed to honor God with his wealth while he was on earth. And 1 Chronicles 17, the writer of Chronicles' intent is to reveal to the church, reveal to God's people, what it looks like when your heart is right with God and you honor God from the heart and God bless your life. So the writer of Chronicles don't tell us about David's sins. He don't talk about all the mistakes David made. 2 Samuel brought that out. But the writer of Chronicles want to let us see a picture that if your heart is right with God, God can bless you beyond measure. So in chapter 17, we begin with saying this. Now it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtain. He's just at home relaxing, but God is on his mind. He's sitting down at his house that God has blessed him with. And his mind goes, but what about the ark of God? It's behind a curtain. Then Nathan said to David, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. Now, Nathan is the prophet. Nathan is the one who revealed to David his sin when he tried to cover it up. David didn't get mad and fire. David went into repentance. So here's the same prophet hearing David talk about how God has blessed me, but look at where God is dwelling. The Ark of the Covenant was where God had placed his glory. And what he was saying is, I got to do something for God before I leave the earth. Nathan discerned this is in David's heart. So he said, whatever is in your heart, go for it, man. But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. Where is this building of a house for God coming from? His heart. How many know God can read the mail of the heart? God say, Nathan, go back and tell David he's not going to build me a house. For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I have commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? No, notice, God is saying, basically, to Nathan, all the time that I've been with Israel, not one time did I put a demand on any of the judges or the kings that I put as my leader to build me a house of cedar. And here is this man here with no demand, no obligation put on him, out of his own heart, he want to do this for my glory. Now, therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep to be a ruler over my people. So verse 9 all down to verse 10, God just kind of brings back to the forefront the things that he's done for David's life ever since he called him. Then come down to verse 11. And it shall be when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall what? He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. God has said, David is in your heart, but I'm not going to allow you to do it. I'm going to allow your son to do it. Now, some may think, well, David should be offended by this. God, why can't I do it? Watch his response. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him as I have took it from him who was before you. Talk about Saul. And I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. Now, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. This is God's response to David's desire to build a house. And verse 16 says this, then David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? Notice his response. He's not angry. He's humble. He's basically saying, God, all that I have, you've done this for me. I take no credit for it. The victories, the battles, all of that, God, you've done. And then all of this that you blessed me with, everything I have come from you, God. I mean, no, he's not offended. He's not mad at God. Why can't I do it? I want us to see his heart, what we're seeing. We're seeing the heart of David. Come over to chapter 22. We're going to pick up some more. I just want us to grab his heart. In chapter 22, verse 5. Now David says, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout what? All countries. Look at his attitude. He says, Solomon, my son, he's going to build it. But man, we got to build it for the glory of God. We got to build this thing so that all the people of the world will be able to see and witness, look what they have done for their God. Now notice, I will now make preparations for it. So David made abundant preparations before what? His death. I'm not going to build it, but I'll finance it. I'm going to give all the preparation he needs. I'm going to get the plans. I'm going to get the workers. I'm going to pay for the material. He's going to have everything he needs. All he got to do is walk upright before the Lord. Are you grabbing David's heart? Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, look how he talks to his son. My son, as for me, it was in my mind or in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. In other words, God said, David, you're a man of war. There's a lot of blood that you shed. And therefore, you will not build the house, but your son will build it. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest or a man of peace. And I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. I want you to grab his heart. Come down to verse 16. Listen to what David said. Arise and begin working, and the Lord will be with you. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now notice how he talked to the leaders. Now set your heart in your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore, arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord. Grab David's heart. Not only do he give instructions to his son, but now he come talks to the leaders. And know what he's saying? Let your heart be in it. That whatever you do for God, let your heart be in it. And let seeking God be your key priority. Come over to chapter 28. I just want us to walk through to get a glimpse of David's heart because he longed to honor God with his wealth while he was on the earth. 28, look at verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts. The Lord searches what? All hearts. Remember I said earlier, it all begins with the heart. And God knows the heart of every person. He knew David's heart. He knew Solomon's heart. He knew the leader's heart. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. No matter what we're doing, God looks at the heart. I'm standing up here preaching, but God looks at the heart. So he said he searches the hearts and understand all the intent of the thoughts. In other words, God knows your motives. See, when it was in David's heart to build a house for God, God read the mail of his heart. He was genuine. He was sincere. He didn't want to leave the earth and just leave all the abundance to his family. He wanted to do something great for the glory of God. He said, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Not only did David give his son the physical things he needed to build this temple, but he gave him a word from God. He let him know it does not matter how you build this house. It matters why you're building it. You can make it look good. It could be packed with people. But man, if God's heart is not on your heart, it's a waste of time. Saints, we got to stop walking by the external. We got to stop walking by what we see and qualifying God in it. See, we live in a world where people worship material things. The world that we live in is a materialistic world. Everything is driven by money and greed and popularity. And so everybody want to present this image. But God don't look at that stuff. God looks at the heart. People do so many things for self-glory. People are motivated by their own pride. People are motivated by their own ambition, their own arrogance, their own egos. People are motivated because, you know, they want people to think they're this. And God sees all of that. But we got a tendency to just look at what we see and qualify God. But David is putting more emphasis on Solomon's heart. David is putting more emphasis on the heart of the leaders. He said, we got to have the right heart, guys. If your heart ain't in it, don't even start it. Because God searches the heart. Who would be a better person to tell us this than a person that God himself said, this is a man after my own heart who will do whatever I ask him. Don't care what it costs. Don't care what people say about it. Don't care who fire him. He'll do what I say because he's a man after my own heart. One person said this, arise, O my soul, and seek God with all your heart, that he should be my greatest treasure, my deepest longing. Let me lay aside all of me that I might find all of you, Lord. That's a cry of a heart, man. Proverbs put it like this. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to the overflow. Thanks, when it comes to putting God first in money matters, it's all about the heart. I know sometimes we want to justify and, you know, show what I call false compassion. Well, you know, sometimes people got this going on and people got that going on. No, it's where is God on your heart. That's what it's all about, saints. God don't love me more than he love you. God just love. The Bible says God is love. Now, we're talking about God, but now we have to talk about ourselves. Do I love God? You know? Oh, I know he loved me. Oh, God love everybody. Praise the Lord. He does, because he's love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What's that love? He never stopped loving us. So I don't need to sit and just focus on God's love for me. I got to ask myself, do I really love God? Am I just hanging with the dude because I want things to go well for me? Or I'm just identifying with him because I think it's the right thing to do. Or I'm just hooked up with him because I don't want to die and go to hell. Everything I said is all about me. But when you love God, glory to God, hallelujah. I say when you love him, when you do anything to offend him, you're going to get it right. You got to have this in your heart before you get the wealth. Galatians 6, 7 say God cannot be mocked. He ain't no fool. Whatsoever man soweth, that what he going to reap. You can't play God now. Why? Because he already read the heart, right? Don't try to throw this off on God. Well, God, when you bless me with this, I'm going to do this. You can't play God like that. No. You got to have the longing before he do it. You got to have the desire before you get it. Some of those tax time givers, only time you give to God is when you get tax return. Can I help somebody now? I just want to be real. You had all year to be given. God ain't waiting on you to get a lot because it's easy now. Oh, it's easy now. How many know it's easy to give from abundance? But when you got to give by faith, you don't give based on conditions. You don't sow by looking at the wind in the rain. You just obey God. Hallelujah. When you start cutting back on your budget, you don't mess with God's end. Yeah, cut back on your entertainment. Cut back on your social life. Cut back on this and cut back on this. Cut back on eating out all the time. That's fine. That's wisdom. But don't start cutting up on God. Now you cut your lifeline. You cutting the anointing. You cutting the favor. You cutting the blessing. You're cutting the supernatural. Don't cut up on God. Glory to God. Somebody grabbing hold of that. Hallelujah. All right, someone tell them. No, they were telling somebody, well, you know, you went through this and things have changed now. You can't give that much to the church like you used to. Well, if you was giving to the church, you was losing all the time. You don't give to a church. You give to the head of the church. You bring your tithes and offering to the great high priest. Not the Pope, not the preacher, not the prophet. You bring your tithes and offerings to Jesus. He is the great high priest. I want us to grab this because sometimes when we hear about David being a man after God's own heart, we just think that's David. But God wants everybody in here to be a person who ministers from the heart, who serves from the heart. The second thing I noticed about David is this, is that he looked at his sacrifice in giving as for God and not others. In other words, David said that everything that I'm doing, all of this preparation, I mean, David was literally getting ready to clean out his financial portfolio for the kingdom. He knew death was imminent. He knew his time was winding down. He knew it was time to transfer everything and begin this process of bringing Solomon to the forefront. Look at chapter 29, verse 1 and 2. It reads like this. Furthermore, King David said to all his assembly, my son Solomon, who alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for who? For the Lord God. This building project is not for man. It's not so, get this, man can be on television. It's not so people can come out and take pictures of man. Can I help somebody now? It's for the glory of God. Here again, we're reading what? Look at this man's heart. was normal for kings to build things and even put their names on it. How many people are like that today? So I'm saying we got to be careful when we do these things, because we got to ask ourselves, am I seeking to exalt myself, or am I seeking to exalt Jesus? Why? Because that reveals something about the heart. David said, this temple is not for man. It's not for Israel. It's not for Solomon. It's not for my family. It's for what? It's for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared, God, get this now, with all my might. David is not doing the work. So when he used the word might, he's not saying, I'm out here laboring, I'm slaving. No, he said, I prepared with all my might. What did he say? With all my heart. The resources that I'm giving, all the money that I'm putting into this temple, I'm doing it from my heart. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. The third thing is this, he lifted his giving to the place of above and beyond. Look at verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection. You know what that word means? He said, I've set my desire. I've set my joy on the house of my God. I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. David had resources available to him out of the state treasure, out of the government resources. But he also had his personal account given to the work of God. David said, I set my delight, my affection on things of God. I'm not under any obligation. There's no guilt on me. How many know David got peace about it? You never give out of obligation. You never give out of guilt. They can place some guilt on you in some of those special services you may go to. You never give out of manipulation or pressure. You let peace inspire your giving. You let the fact that I want to honor God inspire your giving. The Bible says he gave above and beyond. Above and beyond is, get this, tithe in offerings. Leaders, New Testament order, leaders should be setting the example to the members of bringing the tithe. I would not want to be a leader and don't tithe. That's my heart, man. Why? Because I want to be able to preach freely. I want to be able to share with those under me. We got to continue to pray and believe God for 100% tithe in church. Now, if I'm going to say that to you, it's understandable you expect me to be doing it. When you got peace, you can talk about it. If I was a God robber, if I was a preacher who didn't tithe and everything, how many know my leadership would be sitting there right now, pastor, don't tithe? When you honor the word of God, you got peace. Not only do you have peace, you got power against the enemy. When the enemy comes in as a flood, you can lift up a standard against him by declaring that I am a tither and I live under open windows, and God told me that I don't have to rebuke you, that he will rebuke you. I got peace and I got power against the adversary. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The last one is this. He leaves a door of opportunity for others to reveal their hearts. Notice in verse 5, this is where we close. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Now he opened it up to everybody. So basically what David is saying, who else is going to give his heart to God like this? The Bible says, then the leaders, oh, thank God for good leadership. Leadership didn't say, David, why you put us on the spot? The Bible says leadership had the right heart like David. They gave willingly. Look at verse 9. Then the people did what? Rejoice. For they had offered what? Willingly. Because with what? A loyal heart. They offered willingly to the Lord. And King David rejoiced greatly. Look at the church.
This concludes our time for this week's message from the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. To obtain a copy of today's message, please let us know the date and time of the broadcast and forward that information to Kingdom Builders Christian Center, P.O. Box 9206, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please include $7 for each CD request to cover the cost of shipping. Each Sunday, join the KBCC family for morning worship services at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening worship services at 7 p.m. Children and youth ministries are available. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at kingdom-builders.com. Have a blessed week and join us next Sunday for The Word Alive.